Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Phone was blown up last night. Are you seeing this? Are you watching this? Can you believe this kid? And I, you know, he did. I mean, I think one of the writers wrote, he did put forth a performance for the ages. I mean, it was amazing just sitting there watching him. And I love watching these young pitchers pitch like this. They have this ability to just stand up there and just not even the even. What's his name? The guy, the pitcher for
Connelly Early.
Early. Even he, until the fourth inning, I mean, they were just going tit for tat back and forth. And it's just so great to see young kids be able to do what each one of these guys were doing. And then, of course, Cam took it all the way into the eighth inning, which I was, you know, he's still throwing 97, 98 in the eighth inning. They probably could have brought him out in the ninth if they wanted to. But it was a flawless performance. I mean, there were no walks. I think he threw 22 first pitch strikes. He had guys off balance. He got a couple good calls by the umpire because, you know, when you're throwing the ball 100 miles an hour, that umpire, you know, that ball gets there pretty quickly. And especially when it's at the top of that box, that strike box, and he was getting those calls as well. But, man, what a freaking performance. And deserves all the accolades this morning. It was a big time, saved the season. I'm going to show up. I'm going to take the ball. I'm not going to worry about what anybody else is doing. And I'm just going to do my job. And, I mean, that was breathtaking, actually, from a pitching standpoint. And you could watch, like, Gerrit Cole was sitting there watching, and they kept showing him. He was so locked into him because of what he was doing. And, you know, I just here's the one thing I hope for this kid. I hope this kid's arm lasts forever. I hope he doesn't have to go through anything that's going to, you know, derail him at this age because, man, that was just brilliance. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. It was just brilliant just watching him and watching them try to chase that, whether it be his the four-seamer, the two-seamer. I'm so sick of all these different things. But it was amazing just watching it. And that's old-school baseball. That's what that was. And thankfully, you know, Anthony Volpe's actually on this team. Because once again, makes an incredible defensive play at second base, has to do this two games in a row now, and he comes up with a key single. I know he strikes out three times, but there's something about the October baseball that brings out the best in this young man, and he's shutting everybody up. Now, I know he's not trying to do that. I know it doesn't really matter to him what people say about him, but, man, you got to be extremely happy for what this young Yankee fan growing up has turned out to be at shortstop in the biggest games.
Yeah, when certain guys get up in situations in the postseason, you have an expectation, some positive, some negative, and with Volpe in the playoffs, it's positive. You want him up in these situations, which is the direct opposite of how we felt about him for a ton of the regular season because he really did struggle, and everybody knew he struggled defensively and offensively, but, man, he's got that in him as a young player to rise to the occasions in these situations, just like Schlittler did last night. And he had shown us some flashes. He had been really impressive, Cam, throughout the regular season. But to do this in an elimination game in his first postseason start at 24 years old, when he'd only been up here since July, with, you know, 50,000 fans screaming at you and the, you know, the Red Sox and the Yankees. I mean, I can't even imagine being him at that age, taking the ball and being that confident. And I guess, you know, when you start rolling and you're that talented, the confidence builds inning by inning. But, I mean, you mentioned Connelly Early. I mean, he was cruising too. And then the Yankees were able to break through, and Schlittler never... Right, yes. And Schlittler was never... He never had that moment where... That tense moment. He just didn't let the Red Sox breathe. He just had his foot on their neck the entire time.
And I have to say, it was the one time where... you just hope the Yankees got a run somewhere along the line, because you just wanted to see this kid go back out on the mound and do his thing. You just wanted to see how long he could do it. How long were those balls in the upper 90s going to continue to come? And it just kept coming, and it kept coming, and it was just amazing watching him do that, put that performance forth for all of us just to sit there and enjoy. I have to say, we come in here a lot of times, and it's disappointment Monday. It's this, that, and the other thing. We talk about a feel-good Friday. I mean, if you are a Yankee fan and you saw that, and we all saw this kid last night, man, and they were talking about it in the booth last night, the future for the Yankees, assuming everybody stays healthy, holy crap, their starting pitching is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
And by the way, so we're not going to hear any Anthony Volpe crap anymore this morning, thankfully. I don't think we should hear any more Aaron Boone crap this morning, thankfully. You know why? Because the guys who he asked to do their jobs did their jobs last night. That's what happened. That's the difference.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what it is. And, maybe people had an issue of keeping Rodon in a little bit too long, but it didn't ultimately kill them. And the Schlittler one, the guy was pitching his ass off. I mean, it was obvious what was going on.
If there were Terry Collins, he would have put him out there in the ninth. I know it for a fact.
Well, yeah.
We've been down that road before with the young super stud in a big playoff game.
It's funny that you bring that up and you reference the Mets. And, I was thinking last night with this performance that Schlittler had. We, as the season was ending, as Mets fans are comparing horrible years to this year. Like, that was what it was. That was our comparison. Oh, it's like 07, it's like 08. Here we go again. It's the worst. These guys stink. It's disappointment. But then Schlittler for the Yankees, he goes out there and does that, and every Yankee fan goes, man, that was like El Duque. That was like Andy Pettit in a big spot. All these David Wells. It was like, that's what... It's just, I'm just so jealous of it. I'm just so jealous. We sit here, we go back and say, oh, this reminds me of the Marlins beating us and Tom Glavine on the mound and choking it up in back-to-back years and the same things happening again. And they never make the playoffs in back-to-back years. And when they have expectations, they fail and they puke on themselves. Now they got young pitchers again that we hope are, it's the same crap over and over again. And with the Yankees, it's like, oh, man, that reminds me of when they were, in the middle of their dynasty and guys would come up and dominate on the mound and, beating the Red Sox like we used to do. I mean, I just wish I had positive reference points in my life like that with my franchises.
Well, I mean, 12.
So good for you, Yankee fans.
How about him? 12 Ks. I mean, I don't know how many pitches he threw over 100 miles an hour last night. I can't even imagine being in the batter's box, seeing some of those pitches come in, and then some of those, those two-seam sinking fastballs.
Sinkers, the 100-mile-an-hour sinkers.
Jesus, I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
I mean, and, the good thing is that we do have a Nolan McClain. We do have a Brandon Sproat, and maybe Noah Tong will make it. I don't know, but all I can say is that there's nothing better than watching a kid live out a dream and do it in such a spectacular manner. I mean, there's nothing you could say other than, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a wow moment, right, if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, I mean, and this will be the last Met reference I'll make, but there's two other things I was thinking about last night. Was one, the Detroit Tigers, who choke away the division and collapse, but then get into the postseason and beat the team that jumped over them. And now they're moving on to the ALDS. That was something we were hoping would happen if the Mets were able to get in. I understand they would have had to play the Dodgers, but still. And also, being robbed of the opportunity to see Nolan McClain do something like Cam Schlittler did last night. So that those two things bothered me. The Yankee fans probably smiling hearing these things, but it's not about us this morning. It's about them and them moving on now to take on the Toronto Blue Jays, who probably don't want to see the Yankees. This is a big, big series for that franchise, man. Nobody takes this group seriously because they haven't accomplished anything. They end up winning the AL East, but that's not going to mean a damn thing if the Yankees beat them in this series.
Exactly. So this is their measuring stick series.
Oh, yeah. Litmus test,
measuring stick, that kind of thing. We got a few of those football games, too, this coming weekend. You know, the other thing that I like about Nolan McLean and Cam Schlittler is their windups and just how there isn't a lot of, like, movement to what they do. You know, there's a very simple, mechanical way that they go about their pitching. And there's nothing, neither player on the mound shows any signs of any panic. There's just a real belief in what they can do. You know, like when I think of Kodai Senga pitching, or I'm trying to think of, when John Franco was pitching towards the end of his career, remember he was nibbling everything, trying to get guys to go after bad pitches. And
yeah.
That was his key. Like the pitch looked like it was going to be a strike. It'd be out of the strike zone. They'd swing at it. They'd strike out. And he'd walk off with another save. That was his way of thinking. Kodai Senga, nibble here, nibble there. Like, you know that it's not that John Franco didn't believe in his stuff. He did, but that's the way he pitched. But like Kodai Senga is afraid to throw the ball over the plate. Like, to me, that's the pitcher competing is challenging the hitters and throwing your best stuff within the strike zone. And both Nolan McLean, I think Brandon Sproat has it too, but Cam Schlittler both have it. They both have that ability, and I think, younger Gerrit Cole was probably that way. Like Rodon last year. You know, there's nibble here, nibble there, afraid to throw your stuff over the plate because you think it's going to get hit. This kid last night was like, if you could hit it, good luck, man. Good luck, because you're not going to hit it. And I'm going to throw it right over the plate, and you're not even going to see it. How many times did they swing at pitches last night? I know late in the game it happened a little bit more than earlier in the game, where the pitch was out of the strike zone because they had to make a decision. Because they weren't sure what he was throwing or where it was going to end up.
Yeah, I mean, he had him off balance the entire night. And to be that dominant and that confident and that young in that situation is what makes it so impressive.
That's a Nolan Ryan, Tom Seaver performance last night.
Here we go.
That's exactly what that is. Why can't I say that?
Every time.
Why can't I say that?
Every
that's
time.
A Roger Clemens performance.
All right, that's maybe a little bit better, I guess.
All right, that's a Roger Clemens performance. That is a freaking dominating, I'm up here, I'm throwing gas, and good luck hitting it.
Yeah, no, he was great, man. He definitely was.
Remind me of Jacob DeGrom a little bit.
DeGrom, too.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. If I don't know the personality of him. We saw a bunch of his starts this year, and they were pretty good. And I don't think any of us expected 12 strikeouts against the Red Sox.
No.
He had a freaking playoff game to save the Yankee season, but it is what it is. It's the wow factor. But I mean, could you imagine just having that kind of confidence in what you're doing? I mean, he must have woke up on the right side of the bed yesterday morning when he was warming up. He probably felt, wow, I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
And then to get out of that first inning the way that he did and the way that that ball was coming out of his hand last night, I hope it's not a once in a lifetime situation. I want to see him pitch like three or four more times this postseason.
Well, he's going to get the opportunities, you know that. And someone, let's see, 11:05 p.m., someone posted to me on X, Rob D42, said, who will Boomer Esiason compare Cam Schlittler to tomorrow morning? Your answer is Nolan Ryan, Tom Seaver, Jacob DeGrom, and Roger Clemens.
How's that? Is that pretty good?
Those are four right there, so there was your answer.
I'm saying that's the kind of performance it was.
11:05. That's what Rob D42 was thinking.
Hey, Rob D42, go kiss my ass. Because that's exactly what it is. You know, you got to put it in perspective. You got to give somebody like an understanding of what you think you just saw.
Yeah, no, I know. I hear you.
Yep. It was a big one. It was a big one. And we got the Blue Jays now to focus on.
We got the Blue Jays?
Yeah, as a New York baseball people.
Oh, New York baseball people, okay.
We as a show.
Okay.
We as a show have to focus on the Blue Jays.
Well, I'm not focusing on them yet.
Not the whole show.
No, can't do that.
Well, you're going to focus on the Blue Jays as well to win. That's what we're doing. We're going to be thinking about the Blue Jays. That's all I said. We have the Blue Jays now to think about. We were thinking about the Red Sox. Now we are thinking about the Blue Jays.
I mean, who do you think that Cam Schlittler looked like last night? 888-808-1019.
Oh, God, Al's just going to... He's going to get a hose from his exhaust to his mouth if you do that again. Man. It is a feel-good Yankees Friday. It is a feel-good football Friday, and Cam Schlittler delivered. Yankees move on.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
So we were just talking about a colleague of ours, a former colleague of ours, Lucy Burge, who worked for Odyssey for a bit and now is doing some stuff for a bunch of different sites. You could follow her on X. You could follow her on IG. She does a great job with all of her picks and has gained a lot of attention over the last couple of months. Definitely a Red Sox fan. She puts it out there, doesn't hide that. And she posts a picture of herself. Says Red Sox in 3, wearing the Red Sox jersey. And then last night after the game, about 12:45 a.m., here comes Cam Schlittler into her mentions. And he says, not this year. So we gave Lucy a call and to see what she thinks about all this. Lucy, good morning. Boomer and Geo here. How are you? Oh, hello. This is the weird. It's the first phone call every time.
It's our phone stink. Just put her on hold.
All right, put her on. It's the first phone call every time that we go to. Nobody's there.
God.
What a setup.
It is quite the setup. Maybe you should have Al punch her up.
All right, here we
go.
Try again. Lucy, good morning. No. Is the phone pot up? This is just great.
Where's our board op?
God knows. All right, let's try again. You think try again? Was it down? All right, here we go. Lucy?
Can you hear me now?
Hey!
Yay!
2025. Woo! Lucy, good morning. How's it going?
Good morning. Well, as your former colleague who did work in radio, I do understand this. And I'm partnered with DraftKings now.
Okay.
Is where I work.
Very, very good. Okay. Now, that's a little bit, we're FanDuel people, but that's okay. You do what you need to do. We'll do what we need to do.
Sure.
And we're happy for you. You're not happy with yourself and your team, though, last night. So when did you see this Cam Schlittler sliding into your mentions thing last night?
Yeah, so I actually saw this as a post from Dallas Braden this morning. And at first I was like, oh, that's me. And then it clicked. So I was like, oh, wait. And I didn't actually see the tweet organically. So I saw it as a photograph of a screenshot, if you will, of the tweet and my tweet together. And I was like, oh, that's, you know, it's not every day you wake up and your team has lost in a very horrible fashion, and then you get trolled by the opposing pitcher, and not only that, it's the Yankees. So it was, you know, it's been a really wonderful morning, you guys.
You know, Lucy, you make a living off of your social media content and everything else. I mean, this is a different world we live in. I can't even imagine when I played ever doing something like this. But this is amazing by Cam. I thought, I mean, what your initial thoughts about what he said and how he said it?
Yeah, the ball's on this guy. My God. So I grew up in Connecticut. A lot of my friends growing up are Yankee fans, and I still am friends with them. So it's been really fun getting texts from people. And so I'm used to this. So it's not new, but, you know, the opposing pitcher, this is a little bit different. So, you know, good for him. That's fine. He's from Walpole, Massachusetts. So I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, he's, you know, how disowning your team just because you play for the Yankees. Okay. So I was like, girl, whatever. Like, you get over it.
Yeah. I mean, so
he knew your success first. Right.
He had to have been a Red Sox fan. Like, there's no way.
100%.
He was.
Yeah, sure.
Right. Okay, just making sure. And, but, I mean, listen, he right now is in Yankee lore. And for him, that's going to mean more than anything that he did when he was growing up. But it's like, I didn't think he had this personality on him. That's what's so shocking to me, is he goes out, he's so quiet, hasn't made a peep this entire time, decides to go and celebrate. You think he's waking up, like, having anxiety about, like, talking to you on X and sending these things and then putting the dirty water quote out, too? I mean, he seems like maybe he wakes up at 23 years old, like, oh, my God, what did I just do?
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but I think he will be more of the, like, yeah, well, we won, so I get to celebrate this. So good for, you know, good for him that that is the case, because, you know, you also root for guys to have success in their careers, of course. So that's good for him. It's a great story. So that's, you know, more where I'm like, yeah, but, like, when it comes down to it, like, it is a good story. Yeah. So it's really not, there's no actual vitriol, but it's very funny. So I don't think he will have anxiety about this. I think he'll be more doubling down. We might see some more tweets from him as the day progresses, perhaps.
Well, you know, that would be interesting if we do. There's no question about that. If we see that, that would be amazing. But so my sense is you're a Red Sox fan. You're watching this game last night. And give me your thoughts of watching this thing unfold last night and how frustrating it was.
Very frustrating. I would say more that the Red Sox gave the game away. Like, they let the, not that they let the Yankees win, of course, but maybe so. But yeah, they did. They could have won that game, and they didn't. And there were moments where you see it just all unraveling, all falling apart, tremendously locked in was their slogan coming in, or their, you know, catchphrase coming into this. And it all fell apart. It all unraveled. And in many instances where this game should have been won, maybe running faster, or in game two as well, in terms of in the outfield, or going home. So there were many instances, I will say, where the Red Sox could have won this series, and they just didn't. And you could feel it, I mean, probably the fourth or fifth inning, where you think the Red Sox are not going to come back. There's no way. They're not going to win this game, and it's over. So I was preparing. So I was ready for the Cam Schittler's tweet that the Schittler, excuse me.
Fine. It's okay. No problem.
I heard a couple dumps yesterday across the media landscape. But the you could tell the fourth or fifth inning that this was going to maybe be a disaster.
Now, did I see correctly that one of your posts on X got like over a million views, one of your Red Sox posts, and then you said something like, this is, you know, follow me on Instagram or something like that. Did you get a million?
Yes.
This was before the Schittler thing, right?
Oh, yeah. Take every opportunity to promote, you know, your IG or your social. So before the series, I said Sox in two.
Okay.
And that clearly did not happen, as we know, especially today, of course. Cam Schittler has reminded us of that. So then I switched it to Sox in three, because of course.
Right.
So yes, that was the post, the initial post, Sox in two, which of course went very well, did get a million views, yes.
Oh man, I tell you.
Well, you know what, man, they needed to win game two, as you pointed out. They had every opportunity to win game two, and they just could not do it, and It's got to just be maddening. For us as Met fans,
the offense,
believe me, it's worse.
Yeah, for yes, Mets fans, I saw that and I thought, oh, that must suck. And yes. Now here we are, yeah. Because the offense was just stagnant. Masataka Yoshida was the guy, and nobody else could bring it home for Connelly Early or any other Bayo or anybody. And it was just really disappointing to see, honestly. But, you know, congrats to the Yankees, I guess, and Cam Schittler, who I'm sure is, you know, just going to no anxiety and will be active on Twitter going forward, I'm sure, because it's good to see a guy with personality.
Lucy Burge joins us. Thank you so much for taking the time on short notice and owning up to it and the whole deal. And you can follow her on her socials, which is exactly what, Lucy, to let the people know?
Yes, of course. It is at Lucille Burge on Instagram and Twitter, and Lucy Burge 1 on TikTok, should you be on TikTok.
Oh, all right. Very good. Well, thanks for joining us, and good luck next year. I know you weren't prepared for this, but best bet for the NFL weekend, what do you like?
Oh, Patriots. Patriots plus 8.5 against the Bills.
Of course.
Sunday Night Football.
You can't 100%. Take the Boston out of her. You can't do it. It's the Boston stuff over and over again. All right, Lucy, take care. Thanks for joining.
Thank you, guys. Congratulations.
All right.
Thanks, man. We're Mets fans.
Mets fans.
Congratulations for the radio station.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yes. And the architect who was in the booth behind Ricky Ricardo goes, save, cha-ching. He was putting like singles up in the air. That's what he was doing in that booth. Look at the strip club. Chisholm scores.
Yes.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Let's go.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Yankees came back. They won the final two behind a tremendous effort from one Cam Schlittler.
You know, I almost find these shows the hardest to communicate what I actually saw last night, because the easiest thing in the world is to, like, after game one, get on, let it rip, boom, why'd you pull Fried? What about this? What about that? It's tough to verbally capture what we watched last night. It was that amazing. It was that special. When a young athlete's body and mind and heartbeat is so in sync to take the mound, and by the way, the other kid was pretty good as well, but to take the mound and against the Red Sox on that stage, he came up in July. He's a special performer. He's obviously got a special heart rate. You know, that matters. You hear that a lot. It sounds a little contrived, whatever, but he is just so calm, and he comes out and right away pumping 100, 100, 101, 99, 100, 100. We saw last night, you know, what we saw last night, Sal, there is a chance we won't see that again the rest of our lives. He was that good.
Yeah, I mean, look, there are a couple of factors that go into it. For me, we could get into why I think the Yankees won the series and all that stuff, but the number one thing that I would take away from last night is there is nothing more enjoyable for me in sports than watching a starting pitcher dominate the way that he did, especially on the biggest of stages in the postseason and the elimination game, all those different things. But doing it from start to finish, like, six scoreless would have been really good. I think everybody would have signed from that. Seven would have been, wow, he won seven innings. What an impressive performance. When you go eight, and then I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. And by the way, like, clearly I'm not a Yankee fan, but even just thinking about the moment where he's walking into the dugout and Boone's like, you're coming back out. Well, you're going back out, you got another one in you, and the crowd going nuts, and him just blowing away guy after guy. I don't think there's anything more beautiful in sports than a starting pitcher going that deep into a game, especially in a postseason.
It's up there, and, you know, it's really the poise. I mean, the stuff is obvious. You watch him throw a baseball, he's got these long, loose limbs, so the ball's on you quicker. He throws 100, he's got a nasty cutter. Like, he's got the entire repertoire, but, like, when you jump ahead and it's strike one, strike one, strike one, strike one, like, he could have been out there for 5 hours. The Red Sox weren't dotting him. Yeah. Like, they just were not touching him. And the other thing, too, Sal, you know, the way the Yankees won the series, now, you and I both thought that they would hit last night.
Yeah.
They didn't.
No, well, that's a whole other thing that we got to get into here.
We certainly will. But to win a series, now, the Red Sox, they've had some injuries from the offensive perspective. Like, they're not a very lethal offensive team, but You still got to beat who's in front of you. For the Yankees to win a series with only two home runs, you had Volpe's home run early in the first game. Obviously, Ben Rice then hit one. You almost had one from Stanton. Judge didn't hit any. Belly didn't. Gresham didn't. Nobody else did. To win a series the way they won it, whether it's the hustle double, whether it's two, that play by Volpe, keeping that ball.
Yeah.
I mean, Jazz, he worries me, even though I like him. Man, some of the throws he makes and plays are just odd. But that pick by Volpe with a runner charge down on you, if he doesn't secure that ball, it's in the outfield, it's second and third, you got big problems. He made a big play the night before, the double play from Devin Williams, jumping up, getting his foot down, throwing a dot to first. They won in a way that they have not been able to win in recent years, and that's kind of grinding out a couple of cheap hits and running the bases and catching the ball. And then what we saw from Schlittler, I mean, Guidry didn't do this. Clemens kind of did it against Seattle. Pettit didn't quite do this. El Duque, Wells, nobody else. What I saw last night was almost hard to describe. He was that amazing.
So from Cam Schlittler's perspective, do it again. Now we got to see, like, that's a performance he probably won't ever have again in his lifetime. So I'm not going to sit here and say, well, he's Roger Clemens, it's the greatest pitching performance performance I've ever seen. It's game three, which is not the same as game five and game seven. And now it's an elimination game, but it doesn't feel, you know, with a game three, it doesn't feel the same because the series is just so quick. Whereas even a five-game series is a little back and forth. It just sets the stage a little bit better. Certainly game seven is after a grueling six games. All right, here we go. So game three is kind of abrupt.
Well, it might not feel the same, but it's got the same urgency. You know, whether you lose, you're out.
Yeah, no, understand. It's an elimination game. It just doesn't feel the same as the other stuff.
With the buildup?
Yeah, and there, to me, there are circumstances around it. Like, it was also against a Red Sox team who has a god-awful lineup. Like, that's not taking away from Cam Schlittler. It's a fact. I mean, the Red Sox lineup was just awful, and to your point, they weren't touching him. So he was great. Nobody would ever take that away. Exciting performance. Now, can he follow that up? And if he starts to do that throughout the postseason, then we could start talking about Yankee legacy and Yankee lore and Roger Clemens this and Cam Clemens that, like, whatever. My biggest takeaway is something you just touched upon. This series, and it's going to get buried because of how great and dominant Schlittler was. The Yankees won this series by being a clean baseball club for all three games.
Yeah.
The Red Sox were the team that beat themselves, not catching pop-ups, fumbling all over themselves in the outfield, not good on the base paths. The Red Sox were the team that beat themselves. The Yankees didn't beat themselves. They played clean baseball, and to your point, doing it with base hits, putting the bat on the ball, little seeing eye singles here or there.
Yeah.
Didn't do it with their power. So the Yankees showed you in this three-game series that they can win in a way that we have not seen them win before. That should be the biggest takeaway. Defensive substitutions, McMahon making that great play, whatever it may be, being a clean baseball team through three games while watching the Red Sox, and that's all it took. One mistake, one drop pop-up screwed that whole game up for the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Their pitcher you mentioned before, I thought early was terrific.
He was really pitching. He was mixing and matching. He was good. He's very good. He's going
to
be good.
For a rookie to do that in Yankee Stadium against the Yankee lineup, which is far more dangerous than the Red Sox lineup, like that was impressive. So that pop-up that fell in, that got things going the wrong way. But then even just the balls that were put in play, the grounders that got through, that is something that should get you excited as a Yankee fan. There's more to come with the power, but the fact that they didn't beat themselves and played clean baseball to win a series, that to me is the biggest takeaway.
It's very encouraging. The other thing that Schlittler did, aside from the obvious of just being, you know, masterful, is that outside of Bednar, he gave the bullpen a chance to rest a little bit. So even if he gave you six or five or six scintillating innings, you still would have had to go to whether it's Cruz, whether it's Weaver, who we don't really trust now. Cruz would have been the third straight day. Bednar did have the third straight day. Same with Devin Williams. If Devin Williams would have gotten in, it would have been the third straight day. So he delivered last night, but also at least put them in a better position to be in a good position game one in Toronto, which we'll obviously get to. You know, early, the first time through the order, the Yankees were 1-for-9, and then the second time, and this is where the adjustments came, they were 5-for-8 with a walk. So the kid really, really was good. That's the Red Sox problem, mm-hmm. and that's obviously the Red Sox, you know, one of their staples moving forward. It's a problem that they lost Starr down the road,
right.
But he really was good. But then you can see the Yankees grinding through that second time of the order, and the first inning, you know, I remember telling you, I don't know if it was his first start. I think it maybe was because his first start was July 9th, back to Schlittler. And I told you, I was in the car and I heard the interview with Susan with the scout who wound up finding him at Northeastern. And then, you know, I'm seeing him throw him like, wow, 98. This was in July, 98, 99, 199. And he averaged, I think it was 98.7 on his four-seam fastball, which was the highest average for any Yankee pitcher. But how about this? And again, we could get lost in the numbers, and we won't do this all day, but this has to be said. In the first inning, he has six pitches, 100 or more, which was more than every Yankee starting pitcher in the playoffs since 2008 combined. So, you know, and he's not even their best pitcher. Now you're going to get Fried, obviously. Rodon's been pretty solid.
Oh, he was the best in the series by far.
He was. There's no question.
By one shot.
No, I agree. Yeah. But the Yankees are now in a position to do something that I think a lot of us think that we didn't think that they could do early, that maybe changed our opinions from late because of the moves that they made. And this is what it's about. I mean, just answering the bell, everybody watching, pressure, and he was phenomenal. It was great.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Paul starts us off in Queens. What's up, Paul?
What's going on, guys? Great win last night. Cam Schlittler was unbelievable. Crazy how, you know, it's been a home run or bust all year, and they win this game basically by base hits. And, of course, some miscues by the Red Sox defense. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, if Cam Schlittler can continue to do this, I mean, What does it say about what the Yankees are going to have going forward, starting pitching-wise?
See, that and thanks for the call, Paul. That, to me, is the wrong takeaway from today. Carl Ravitch said it last night. It actually drove me up a wall, BT. We're in the midst of a run right now with the Yankees. There's no need to, like, Carl Ravitch, somebody's got to teach him baseball. Oh, do you think it was him that was better? Was it the defense? Dude, are you watching a game? Obviously, it was the defense. Get a freaking clue, Carl Ravitch.
He's terrible.
But then he starts going on to, well, look at Cole and Fried and Schlittler and Rodon. Dude, this is not about next year. It's about now. Cam Schlittler dominated last night. Cam Schlittler's going to have an opportunity to dominate the Blue Jays in the next round. Who cares about Gerrit Cole and the possibility of next? We have no idea what Cam Schlittler's going to be. We have no idea what next year's going to bring. Right now, you have a chance to go win a World Series. That's what it's about. So, Paul, stop worrying about what it could look like in the future. You have no idea. Does last night mean that Cam Schlittler's going to be Roger Clemens? He might be. I have no idea. He might not be. Nobody has any idea. But right now, last night he pitched better than Roger Clemens could, and the Yankees are going to need that if they want to go win a World Series.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind the reference because it was just a camera shot, and I don't know that Carl said, hey, put the camera on the Yankee pitchers. I could talk about the next couple of years. But it is important to stay in the moment because think about this. This time last year, we're watching Soto and Judge. We're watching a team that goes to the World Series, and you just don't know when you're going to get back there. I mean, a year or two ago, did anybody think Gerrit Cole would miss an entire season? You don't know. So you take the moment that's in front of you, and you just you enjoy it for sure. And this is a fun day because you get a chance. It's a good balance where you get to celebrate last night. You get to look ahead to Toronto, who's been talking smack, whether it's their broadcasters, their manager, their players for the last 3 months, and do that nice little fun balance, which is the best part of October.
Yeah, maybe more of my point, forget like even Ravitch and spinning it forward to next year. Like, yeah, okay, great. That's a next year problem. Even about Cam Schlittler, like, if this is what Cam Schlittler is going to be, first of all, he's never done this before, okay? His best start.
Nobody has in Major League Baseball playoff history.
There's also circumstance for that as well. The expanded postseason, worse teams, like, that is a part of it. You could go back. Now, I didn't do this myself, but go back and look at some of the great pitchers and the lineups that they were facing in comparison to who players face now in a wild card game or a wild card round. So that's not to take anything away, but it is a reason when you get crappy teams 5-6 seeds in, why certain stats may look different. My bigger point is that Cam Schlittler himself has been in the majority of his season so far, and it was only, 14, 15 games, whatever he started with 15. The Yankees prior to last night, a 5-6 inning pitcher. Then the last outing against the Orioles, we went over this yesterday, was his best one so far, 7 1/3, and then last night was just an absurd, like, the best of the best to ever set foot on the mound in the game would have a hard time matching what he did last night. So what is he? All I'm saying is we don't know. I'm still not sold that he's going to be that every time out. Now, if he is, then nobody's beating the Yankees. End of story. Nobody's beating the Yankees.
Well, think about the other things that you and I discussed as well. The whole lineup thing. I mean, that was a lot of the show that you and I did yesterday. Right. And it came out when we were off the air. And I didn't know if they were going to play. Well, I kind of felt that they would play Stanton. I did say that I would not. But he put Rosario in there, got a big knock there, obviously put McMahon at third base, what he did, made a sprawling catch. That was an incredible catch, my God. So the buttons that he hit now, obviously.
The best play the Red Sox made, by the way, was saving McMahon in that dugout.
That save came a little late. There were a couple of guys that didn't move. I forget who was the guy who actually did catch his legs.
Weird spot, right? Because you don't want to help him, but you
got to help him. When you see somebody's spikes go over their head, I don't care who you're playing. Yeah. I don't care what's at stake. You make sure they don't get paralyzed or smash their head on a piece of concrete. So they eventually did the right thing. That was a sick play there by McMahon. But the buttons that Boone pushed last night, you know, we're right. Now, when Ben Rice drops the pop up early in the first inning, if you wind up getting a 2-run home run, I Ben Rice at first base terrifies me. They were able to work around that.
Also, he didn't look good offensively.
He did not look good offensively. I get that.
But that's why, to me, it's not about the results. I'm watching that saying, okay, he looks overmatched by the lefty. Yeah, he made the drop pop up, but I want Ben Rice's bat in the lineup, period. So I'm okay with the results. I thought it was the right move regardless of the results. But yeah, it's almost like Booney knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he does. And then, by the way, we saw Goldschmidt the last thing against Chapman, which we thought that we would. So, listen, to be a champion, this is, and that's what everyone's thinking, that's a long way from it. There's a lot of twists and turns. There's going to be a lot of shows where I'm yelling, you know, angrily, and Zav and I are debating moves, and why'd you do this, and why. Then there's other days where we're going to be celebrating, like today. But what you have to feel as a Yankee fan, and this really is my greatest takeaway, they've got depth they haven't had in a long time. They've got starting pitching they haven't had quite like this, I think, in a long time. And if Judge joins the party from a power perspective, the Yankees could and should be champions on a lot of levels. This could be the year. This could be the season.
Alex is calling from Southampton. What's up, Alex?
Hello, Al.
What's up, guys? Yeah, yep. I'm calling in. Big Yankee win. Pumped about that for sure. But, you know, about Cam, you know, during the season, he didn't look nearly as good as he did last night. Last night he looked otherworldly. But, you know, I called in a few days ago, talked a little bit about Pettit. And if you remember, Pettit was a solid season pitcher. But once you got him in the playoffs, man, he started going nuts. Mm-hmm. So it could be the same exact kind of song we're singing here for Cam. That's just my take.
You know, listen, that's your take, and we get it. We respect it. The thing, again, it's an interesting balance. Now, we've already heard Clemens, and I threw it out there as well, El Duque, Clemens, yeah. Pettit, I mean, well, Guidry, all these names. Let the kid just continue to progress. The one thing that I would say, now, Andy Pettit, you can make a case he should be in the Hall of Fame based on his October prowess,
and
right?
I would.
I would,
we've
too.
We've had that conversation.
We have. The numbers aren't there in totality, but if you watch, you know, 15 years of baseball, do you really write the Yankees, you know, lore without Pettit being a big part of it? No. And I think you should be rewarded for that. But the point is, even on Pettit's best days, he never looked like that. I mean,
that's just next
level, untouchable, filthy dominance.
Yeah, nobody's going to say that he might not be that or can't be that. He's just not that yet.
I agree.
He might be. Who the hell knows? Like, we need, just after one start, it can't be, oh, okay, well, Cam Schiller's going to dominate the big leagues for the next 10, 15 years. He might. He could. But let's just live in the moment here. He did it one night. The Yankees beat a team that they were clearly better than. They had to win this series. Like,
oh, God. Dude, the pressure here was
Boone's job would have been on the line. If they lost that game last night or lost the series or lost the night before, forget about last night because they had that in control. Dude, Boone might have been fired. We would have been talking about Judge again failing in the postseason, not doing enough. Like, they had to win this series. And now, like, the postseasons are in the way, of course, but now they're back to a spot, okay, where they were last year after winning the division. Let's see what they have in the division round. The competition, I think, would get a little bit more stiff. I still think they're far better than the Blue Jays. Should be a great series. We're looking forward to the excitement there. But one day at a time here, one game at a time. So just enjoy what he did last night, which was an incredible all-time pitching performance without predicting whether he's going to be the next Pettit, Clemens, whatever. He could be. He might not be. What happens if he goes out there next time against the Blue Jays and he gives up 4 runs in 5 innings? Then what? What are we all saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, they were saying he got rocked. But I think what you take away from last night is, you know, this is more reason to believe that the Yankees can make a deep run. Because, you know, Fried wasn't as good as Crochet in game one, but he was really good. Rodon was good, not great, but he's had a really good year. Now, Schlittler, if he's able to join the party, you know, and give you not even, listen, he's not going to replicate that again. I don't know that anybody is again, as I said to start the show.
No, but something similar. I mean,
you know, just give the Yankees a chance to get their bats going before the other team scores a couple of runs. And with that stuff, you would think that he's going to do that every time he steps on the rubber.
And the most important thing, while it was extremely fun to watch him dominate and just blow guys away one after another, not walk anybody, if that game, even a 4-0 game, if Schlittler had to leave in the 6th or 7th inning, now they're in a bad spot, the Yankees are, because not only do they have to go to the bullpen that we don't trust overall, but it's a bullpen that wasn't fresh.
Yes.
So you don't trust them, but you also have guys that would be pitching on the 3rd straight day. Like, that's the spot. If you're Boston, you're dying to get Schlittler out of that game, and he just kept mowing you down, pumping the zone with fastball after fastball. He couldn't touch it to a point where it's the 8th inning, and you're like, they have no shot here, because now it's just Bednar for 1 inning and a 4-run lead. The Red Sox can't come back in this game. So the fact that not only the rest of the bullpen, BT, avoided having to go to a shaky bullpen that would have been overused in this series.
I did not want to see Luke Weaver under any circumstance last night, to your point. Now, the Red Sox weren't the only ones sitting there saying, let's get to the bullpen. I promise you, Toronto's kicking back with their feet up saying, let's go, get back to these guys. So when we play them on Saturday, they're further taxed. And, you know, I went, you know, a little bit of a, not the deepest dive here, but I did find some stuff on Bednar where he had some moments this year and last year with the Pirates where he went back-to-back-to-back days, and he actually pitched very well. Small sample, but and last night he was up for the task. He looked really good. But, you know, if Williams would have got a third day and Cruz a third day, and I believe everybody was available to the point early in the broadcast, you know, Ravage and those guys were saying, and the former players, Eduardo Perez and Coney, did back it up, so it wasn't just Ravage making it up. They both said that Crochet and Fried could face a few hitters last night. So I do believe it was all hands on deck. But not only do they win at advance, but the other guys got a chance to regenerate, so they're in a better spot to play Toronto Saturday.
Jabez is calling from Fishkill, New York. What's up, Jabez?
Hey, I called a while ago talking about Cam Schuller and how amazing he was. Oh, man, oh, man. 8 innings, 12 strikeouts, absolutely electric. I cannot get enough of that. That was a masterclass, man.
It's up there. There's no doubt, Jabez, and thanks. Well, that's why I said to start the show. To me, this is always a challenge. Because I don't know how many descriptive words you can use. Now, we're not going to go 4 hours of platitudes here. Eventually, we turn the page and get to Toronto, do a little Jets-Giants as well. But it was just so special and so unique and so scintillating that it's just, unless you sat there and rapped on and just on every single pitch, there's nothing that we can say that can illuminate fully what this young man did last night.
Yeah, and like I said, it's to me the most enjoyable thing in sports to watch a starter go that deep into a game in that type of moment, in that rivalry, all those different things, and doing it the way that he did it. Like, you could do it and do it effectively as a pitcher, but to do it with that power like that, that's what fans want. On your feet, looking for the strikeout, boom, strike three, boom, strike three, boom. Everybody going nuts with it. It was an impressive performance. And, like they were talking about it last night, a star is born, this or that. I'm not going to go there yet. However, we're like this close from having a star is born, because if he goes out there and does it again or something similar, again, nobody's going to expect him to go 8 scoreless with 12 strikeouts and no walks. Maybe he doesn't. But even if he goes 7 dominant against the Blue Jays in whichever game that he pitches for the Yanks, Now we are starting to see, to me, a star is born. You can talk about it in the regular season, and you can see the stuff, of course.
No question.
But this is different level type performance. When you start dude, look at the outings. We went over it yesterday. When you go to the 8 scoreless in the postseason. Mm-hmm. Now, if you could back that up, now you could be talking about not a third guy that could give the Yankees some rotation depth. He could be their ace.
He could be.
But yep. For a night and for a series, he was. I need to see a little bit more.
He was a hero. And listen, we can start getting to this. Obviously, we get back to the calls, of course, on a fun football Friday. But obviously, it's the Yankees here, BT and Sal. We can start mapping things out as well. You know, who's pitching here? You know, when you look at it, so it's Saturday, Sunday.
It's going to be heel game one, right?
It's going to be heel. Well, did they actually announce that? Because I looked on the thing, and it was not announced, but it looks like it's going to be heel. Yeah. Saturday, Sunday, you got an off day, and then it's Tuesday, Wednesday in the Bronx, then it's an off day Friday in Toronto if necessary. So the train is moving, picking up speed, and let's rock it. Here we go.
We touched on this earlier. I think it is imperative to hammer home the bigger picture, because Schuller was so dominant, so that's the focal point by many. The bigger picture is the way the Yankees played this entire series. It's something that we've been critical of this team and this organization for years. For years, not doing the little things, not playing clean baseball. And yet you saw it on full display, how the Red Sox, a team who everybody thought was dangerous, and I think they were only dangerous because it was a 3-game series and they have one of the best pitchers in the game in Crochet. Outside of that, they're no match for the Yankees. Like, the Yankees are a better team. So that's where it was scary. But you saw them beat themselves with those little mistakes. It was refreshing for a change to see somebody else do it, as opposed to the Yankees not getting to a ball, not taking the extra base, or not making the play defensively. So that is something that they're going to have to do to win a World Series, and maybe even more so to beat Toronto. Now, I do think the power is going to be a big thing here. Boston's pitching is better than Toronto's, but Toronto's lineup is better than Boston's is. So it'll be an interesting dynamic. I think the Yankees are better balanced than both teams and are still better, but they're going to have to continue to not beat themselves, and that was refreshing to watch.
Well, think about the plays at the plate. Now, I got on Jazz a little bit the other night for not busting Hump, you know, the first 4 or 5 steps, whatever. He still made it in 9.1 seconds. He barely beats the throw. Think about Cody Bellinger last night, you know, beating it by a tick. And that means you're getting good reads. That means the anticipation's there. That means the alertness is there. And again, the little subtleties of the series, of course, we'll remember, you know, whether it's the 2 home runs or the pitching performances. But, you know, Volpe with the double play from Williams, Volpe last night. I can't reinforce how big of a play that was by Anthony Volpe. That was a terrible throw by Jazz. And, you know, that is such a hard play. It's one thing, you know, when the ball's in the dirt, it was a fairly short hop, so it's not incredibly tough. But when you got somebody bearing down on you and you've got to get your foot on the base and keep it there, I mean, if he bobbles it, it's first and second. If he whiffs on it, it's second and third, and it's a different profile. So they are finally built differently. And I remember even when they beat the Guardians in 2022 and then got smoked by the Astros, they set records, Sal, for futility in terms of OPS and strikeouts, and they were a one-trick pony. Not anymore.
Think about it this way. The Yankees' greatest strength, I don't think anybody would argue coming into this postseason, would be their bats, right? Their power, their prowess. They just beat the Red Sox at a best of three without even displaying any of that.
I love it. Yeah, no question.
That's the point. So now you want a little balance. You did it with some pitching. You did a little bullpen. You certainly did it with defense and on the base paths. Now maybe next series you have some of that power that comes into play. But it's encouraging, or should be encouraging, outside of the dominant Schlittler start, to see the way the Yankees won this series. Chris is in Belleville, New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
What's up, guys? You know, crazy to think how long it's been since the Yankees beat the Red Sox in the playoffs. I mean, there's a whole generation of 26-year-old Red Sox fans that all they've known in their life is beating the Yankees, which was the reverse of my life growing up. So great to see we could finally get the monkey off our back, even though it was a short series. Felt like a Game 7 championship series. I thought last night the most important inning while I was watching was the top of the fifth.
Yep.
After the Yankees score four there in the fourth, all year when the Yankees score against the Red Sox, it seemed like they would come right back the next inning or the next two innings and score to tie the game right back up. So I thought it was huge to come back in the top of the fifth. He gave up a hit to lead off the inning, and I said, oh, man, here we go. Then I think he struck out the next two, and I can't remember how they got the third out. But I thought shutting them down right back after they came out and scored the four was huge, and I felt like it sucked the life out of the Red Sox after that.
Well, there was two elements there, Chris, and thanks for the call. Obviously, you know, when you get a couple of runs, you want to go up there and put a zero to keep the train moving. But also, that was a long delay, you know, and I said, you know, hey, just be ready. But like, even though he looked so good for the first four, I don't know exactly how long he was on the bench. It seemed like a 25, 28, 30 minute inning. And, you know, it's very easy to get out of the flow there. And he did give up a base hit. Who was that? Yoshida? Yeah, that was Yoshida. He had a couple of really good at bats against him going the other way. That's the only one who really looked dialed in. But for him to sit there and take it all in and probably be a little antsy inwardly, you know, to go out there and then give up a hit, but then buckle down and go bang, 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 that allowed the Yankees relievers to rest and get depth and all the other things that we talked about. It was huge.
He was a man possessed last night. Like we talked about it, the mentality going in, you just knew that he had the proper mentality to deal with the pressure and things like that. He was on a mission to go out there and dominate his favorite childhood team, and he did just that. Pounding the strike zone, blowing him away. So even that layoff there in that inning, nothing was going to deter Cam Schlittler from just going out there and absolutely dominating the Red Sox. Mitchell is in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitch?
Hi, guys. Hi, BT. Hi, Sal. Sal, thank you very much for the compliment last night. The Yankees won. I got to tell you something. Being at the stadium last night and watching this kid pitch last night was the most amazing game that I've seen in a long time at Yankee Stadium. The crowd was in it the whole time. It was electrifying. It was just enjoyable. It was really enjoyable to watch the Yankees win the game. One thing that I'm concerned about, I don't know if you guys talked about it earlier, was, is Bellinger okay? Because he looked like, with his last at bat, he looked like he might have tweaked his ankle, but he was running very hobbling out there. So I don't know if anyone brought that up at all. But
we did see that. I didn't hear anything about that in the post game. Did you, about Bellinger being a little dinged up there?
With the slide there. A little bit. They didn't get too deeply into it. Something to monitor. We'll be on it today, no doubt. They brought it up a little bit.
Okay, and then, you know, the Yankees, you know, they, even with Boone's mistake or whatever else, we go to the second round, let's get going. I've already been on the phone with my buddies. I'm heading out tomorrow morning at 3 a.m. I'm going to Toronto.
Wow.
You're driving or you're taking a plane? You're flying.
He's driving.
Oh, okay. Right now I'm driving, but I'm going to be home in about 15 minutes. I'm going to call there and see what kind of flight I can get.
No, I mean, are you driving to Toronto? Not are you literally driving right now?
Sal, I said I'm going home. I'm going to call the airlines. I'm driving right now, but if I can get a cheap flight or a reasonable flight, I'm going to fly tomorrow morning.
Wow.
And I already got the hotel room. I'm staying at Toronto's, right in the stadium. It's a Marriott right connected to the hotel. I can't stay in the hotel. Sal, how much they wanted for the hotel room?
How much?
To watch the game from your hotel. They wanted $2,900 for the night.
That's insane. Mm. Let me just say this, Mitch, before I forget, because I want to get ahead of things here, and we know you're busy with the Yankees playoff schedule. My wife did remind me yesterday, you know, the calendar turns to October. You start to think about the holidays. You got to carve out some time to go pick up my Christmas tree again this year, okay?
I think you're going to tell them to scoop up the leaves.
No problem, Sal, when you're at it, I need some sweatshirts from your buddy.
I'll get you the shirts. Mitch is looking for some shirts. Thanks for the call, Mitch.
He's out of his mind. I mean, he's texted me last night, and he's sending me pictures of soup. Sushi and prime rib and black and white cookies. I mean, it's amazing. He's going to Toronto. That's great.
I could almost feel the tears of joy from Mitch through the text last night. Like, oh, I saw this kid pitch a great game last night, man. It was one of the greatest thing I've ever seen. Like, congrats, Mitch. All right. Meanwhile, I'm trying to deal with it. Like, geez, here we go again. Buckle up. Yankees going on a big run here. But Mitch is all excited about it. All right. Rob is in New London, Connecticut. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Hey, gentlemen, how's it going today?
What up, Rob?
Hey, so, look, Schlittler, gotta admit something to you. I'd really never seen him pitch or even heard about him in the farm system, and I'd like to consider myself, you know, up to speed on the Yankees, but what I saw last night was equivalent of, it's like a secret weapon. It's almost like a third state acquired a nuke in the middle of a game, and it destabilizes everything. So what I'm saying with that is that you can forget about all the predictions prior, and I don't think Toronto stands a chance against this now. I mean, we not only is Schlittler good, he's a stopper. You cannot duplicate that kind of power.
No, hold on. So, Rob, hold on one sec, though, Rob. So, Rob, all right, first of all, Toronto handled the Yankees pretty well this year. I think it's going to be a good series. Well, I do like the Yankees to win, but hold on. Luis Hill's going game one. Now, Luis Hill's got good stuff, but if Luis Hill goes out there and gets bounced around, and the Yankees...
They need the bats this series.
They got to wake up. And the Yankees lose 7-4, 7-5. I'm not saying that he's not going to pitch well, but if he doesn't, that changes the profile of the series because you might not get back to Schlittler because it would then be Fried and Rodon, which I'd also feel good about, but one game at a time.
Yeah, all right.
No. First of all, I'm talking about long term. I mean, the guy, what I saw is like, forget about
even
the
worse,
series.
Even worse, one season at a time.
I mean, the guy's a stud, but okay.
He is a stud. Well, he was a stud
last night, and there are reasons to believe that he can be a stud, but there are no guarantees. Okay. Like, it's not like he's done this before.
I understand that. Okay. I understand that. I'm just saying, first of all, you know, I mean, I'm a little positive. I mean,
it's good
to be positive today, right?
Positive so Robbie.
I do feel good about that. I don't want to be too hyperbolic, but he's good, okay? So, but I'm not impressed by Toronto. I mean, I've watched them play the last, I don't know, 10 days, and I think, Sal, you know, I love you, but you're way out. I don't worry about Toronto at all. I think Toronto is
a paper tiger. Where are you getting that? I said worry about Toronto.
I don't know. About 20 minutes ago, you said something that you know.
I think I think they're better than Boston. That's what I said. I still said.
I don't think they're better than Boston.
Rob, there's
what have you looked at?
Rob, there's a difference between saying that. First of all, they won the division. How's that for starters?
I understand. Yeah, I know. But
how many games did the Blue Jays win? How many games did the Red Sox win? So that's one thing that I'm looking at. Number two,
you got me. I'm not trying to.
Rob, hold on a second.
Right now,
Toronto had a bye. They didn't play. The Red Sox lineup stinks. The Red Sox couldn't catch
Toronto,
a fly. Rob, the Red Sox couldn't catch a fly ball, and their lineup stinks. Now, I believe the Yankees were going to win the division. I was obviously proven wrong. I think the Yankees are going to beat the Blues.
Yeah, that stunk, didn't it?
Okay, I can't take it. And thanks for the call. I think the Yankees are going to beat Toronto. All I said was, BT, that I think their lineup is more dangerous. I don't think they're
that's
pitching.
That's not even close, Toronto's lineup to the Red Sox.
That's it. Now, I don't think their pitching is as good as Boston. So the Yankees are going to score some runs. That's all we're saying. I don't think Toronto's, I shouldn't say that they're not a threat. They are a threat, but I think the Yankees are better than them.
So do I. It's going to give me a little pause based on the way the Yankees looked a lot against Toronto this year. But you go back to the early part when Toronto, that certainly the four-game sweep up there, they had a lot of balls on the on the left side of the infield, this pre-McMahon. And they ran wild on the Yankees. Now, they could hit. I mean, if Vlad Guerrero goes bonkers, if Springer goes bonkers, if Kirk goes bonkers, like, they are a threat. They're going to hit more than Boston. I don't think they're going to pitch like Boston, and that's where the advantage comes in for the Yankees.
And in the postseason, when you've seen this now, we've been experienced with this before. First of all, Toronto's proven absolutely nothing in the postseason. That's number one. Number two, when you're trying to go through that Yankee lineup and get big outs with your life on the line in these games, who the hell is doing that on the Blue Jays pitching staff? Now, I'll admit, I'm not watching them every single game. I just don't trust them to shut down the Yankee lineup, which is why I believe the Yankees were ultimately going to win the division. That proved to be incorrect. Tie goes to the Blue Jays because they beat the Yankees in the regular season. I think the Yankees are going to get revenge on the Blue Jays. All the smack talk that everybody talked about with Toronto, all the nonsense that went on, at the end of the day, I don't believe the Blue Jays have the sack or the talent to beat the Yankees. That's how I stand. So I think the Yankees' bats are going to come to life in this series. And then maybe in the CSBT, the Yankees are going to have to do it more so with the pitching and the defense versus a team like, let's say, Seattle or Detroit, whoever they face there. Maybe World Series, different story. This series, I think they're going to have to mash, and I think that they will.
And they're favored. Yeah, I just checked. The Yankees minus 150 to win. Toronto's plus 130. So fairly close. And you would think if the Yankees had the home field advantage here, which they don't, you know, maybe the Yankees, maybe it's juiced up to minus 160 or 170, but the Yankees are favored, and I think that they should be. Now you got to go out, you got
to
get it, let's go.
They have to go. I don't think we're seeing a game five in this. I think that's how much better the Yankees are than the Jays. I think they'll get at least one there,
yeah.
And I don't think the Blue Jays are coming to Yankee Stadium and getting a game.
I'll take that. I will absolutely take it.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Two down, 11 to go. It is a long, windy road to winning a world championship, and there are going to be bumps along the way. There are going to be surprises along the way. But every single person needs to raise their hand and say the thing they didn't see coming was Cam Schlittler writing his name down in the record books, in the pantheon of Yankee history, with an absolute dominant start. And not one of those dominant starts for 2025. Like, hey, it was five scoreless. This was a dominant start in 1968. This was a dominant start in 1998. And I thought of you last night, Teague, because you have said when it comes to sports, you love watching greatness.
Yes.
And this kid, for one night in a winner-take-all game, provided the kind of greatness you don't normally see.
Why are you selling him short, Evan?
What? What'd I say?
Making Yankee history is what you said. He's making MLB history. Postseason game, 8-plus innings, 12 strikeouts, zero walks, zero runs. Nobody else other than Cam Schlittler has done that. I mean, I love watching greatness, and that was an all-time great performance. You felt him in complete control from start to finish.
Yes.
Even when he gave up a hit, all right, whatever, next. I get the next guy. He was dominant in a way that I don't think anybody could have expected. And also, because I heard BT and Sal talking about Aaron Boone, or at least the callers also talking about Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone's, he's still doing strikes. Leave him in there.
Yeah.
Is exactly what you want your manager to do when a kid is dealing. As I said with Max Fries, let your guy, your dog, prove that he's great.
Well, here's the difference, okay? Because I'm watching this game and I'm marveling at my scorecard as I'm watching this game. And I give you the one geeky stat.
Man. Only you, Evan.
Well, I'm marveling at Cam Schlittler. Like, we're all marveling at Schlittler's dominance last night. It's just different aspects of it. I'll give you the geekiest thing I was marveling at. 1-3-ball count. So when you talk about not walking somebody, that's great. That's amazing over eight innings. He didn't even come close to walking anybody.
How many started 0-2? It was
constantly.
A lot of
them. He pounded and pounded the strike zone. But as I'm watching this game, because what I was fearful of, if you listened to this show yesterday, and we were on for 5.5 long hours, and a lot of our show was on Boone's handling of Schlittler, trying to play along and how this game is going to go. And I was very fearful, as I mentioned on the air yesterday, that he's going to have a quick hook. It's an elimination game.
Yep.
First sign of trouble. And I didn't think he should. I think he needed to allow Cam to have a regular start. Cam Schlittler, other than, I guess, the fifth inning with two on and two out and Durant coming up, other than that, there was never even a moment to consider, oh boy, I may have to get the bullpen warmed up.
Like,
he made it easy for Aaron Boone to do what great managers do, which is sit your ass in the dugout and let greatness cook. And after he finished the seventh inning, barely breaking a sweat with a pitch count of 100, I screamed at the TV. I even texted you guys and said, you let him pitch the eighth inning.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure Boone was going to do it. He did. And even after the eighth inning was done, in which he also barely broke a sweat, like seven pitches, I thought the same thing. Because when we argued about Max Fried and argued about Carlos Rodon, remember where I was coming from. It's all about what I'm seeing. I thought Fried was done, right or wrong. I thought Rodon was done. There was no sign at all that this beast was even close to being done. So my only somewhat critique is I wouldn't have even taken him out.
Give him a complete game?
Absolutely. I got a 4-run lead. I'm not messing around. I don't trust anybody but this kid. But that's how utterly brilliant he was last night.
Right.
And you've heard a lot of words on this station all day with Keith, with Big Mac, the morning guys, the midday guys. Not enough words can be used to describe him.
No.
That's what kind of performance we witnessed last night.
It was one-of-one performance. You haven't seen it before. Again, 12 strikeouts, 8-plus innings, no runs, no walks. Nobody has ever, not just a rookie, ever done that in the postseason. That is unbelievable for Cam Schlittler. And, you know, the thing that you now know is that he can do it.
Mm.
It's like that thing that we were talking about yesterday. Once you do something, it's like when Brooklyn was trying to do a full, like a round off backhand spring full. It's just crazy stunt. At 10 years old, she's trying to do this. She's like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. And then she did it. And in my mind, I was like, all right, now you got it.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, what if I can't do it again? I was like, you already know you can do it.
Right.
You can't unknow what you already know.
Right.
We know that Cam Schlittler is the man. And at some point, this kid becomes the ace. Now, it's not going to be anytime soon because there's already three here, technically, if you want to count Rodon. But let's say two because Gerrit Cole and Max Fried. The Yankees rotation for the future is stupid. It is the envy. It should be the envy of any Major League Baseball team because of how it just kind of happened to come together.
Yeah, no question. And Schlittler will get another postseason start. He is now in line to pitch game 4 at Yankee Stadium, unless the Yankee sweeper gets swept, which I don't think is the case. But we'll go deeper into the newest rival, the first ever postseason series between the Yankees and the Blue Jays a little bit later on. The other thing that's really important when looking at this 3-game series and how the Yankees won, they scored 9 runs.
Mm-hmm.
And if I told you it's going to be a 3-game series against the Red Sox and they're going to score 9 combined runs, there's a pretty good chance that you, Sean, and most Yankee fans would say, typical crap. That's not enough runs. Is that a fair statement, Sean?
Definitely.
Okay.
A fair statement.
The Yankees didn't score a ton of runs. They didn't hit a ton of home runs. But let's go over what they did do. And this was the difference between losing a series to the Red Sox and winning a series to the Red Sox. And boy, the irony. And boy, the reversal in fortunes. The New York Yankees, and I'm not going to start by ripping the Red Sox. I've already made it clear what I think of them, and it doesn't matter. They're right. The opponent in the Yankees' way. The New York Yankees didn't fumble the baseball. They didn't drop the ball, no pun intended. Now, were they perfect? No. Ben Rice dropped the pop-up in the first inning, which I thought was another great sign from Cam Schlittler that he ignored it and struck out Bregman anyway.
That's all right. I need another K.
Yeah. Think about that. He helped him make history.
Exactly right.
Obviously, Rodon had a throwing error in game 2. Outside of that, and I circle back to Anthony Volpe in the 6th inning. This entire game changes after Jazz Chisholm makes a bad throw to Volpe at second base trying to turn a double play, and Volpe makes a great scoop. That's the difference between the Yankees and the Red Sox in this 3-game series.
100%.
Volpe makes the play. Okay, one out, one on. No big deal. He doesn't make the play. First and third, nobody out.
Right.
The Red Sox, on the other hand, they missed a lot. Whether it's Rafaela and the confusion on the little bloop double by Cody Bellinger that started the 4th inning, whether it's the base running mistake from game 2, whether it's Duran not catching the Judge line drive. And by the way, Yankee fans, don't apologize. No one's asking you to. This is a compliment. I don't want anyone to be sensitive about this. You lost last year because all the crap I'm describing went the other way. This year, at least in this series, you handled the baseball. They didn't. And that's going to be the difference in low, close games in the postseason. So give the Yankees credit, especially after all the loudmouths around here and around this city bash this team all year long. I can't handle baseball. They're going to lose on an error.
They
can't defend.
They didn't.
They didn't.
Well, fortunately, they did handle the baseball. And I got to tell you, I don't know, public interest, personal interest standpoint, the Anthony Volpe roller coaster this year is one of the more compelling stories of this season so far. We'll see how it continues in the divisional series and hopefully farther. But people were fed up with him.
Yeah.
Send him down. He can't play.
Yeah.
Caballero is a better option, not just for right now, but for the postseason. You can't trust the kid. Yet I think what he's proven is that he is a gamer. He's a big lighter. It's just like Jazz Chisholm. We talk about he sees the bright lights of the postseason and he gets excited about it. Anthony Volpe is that. And maybe it's because he's healthy and there's so many other things that can go into this. But you just talked about that scoop that he made on Jazz's bad throw.
Huge play.
Not only that, did you see where the ball was?
Yeah.
That ball was coming out of his glove.
Yeah.
And he held it. Right? If he loses his left mitt, I don't know, a 12%, that ball falls out and everybody's safe. And he gripped it and got the big out, and he's been gaming all postseason long so far in these 3 games with his glove, which is something we couldn't necessarily have counted on in the regular season. So I credit Anthony Volpe.
Absolutely.
Because he was getting crapped on for a lot of this season.
And a lot of it was deservedly so.
Of course it was.
But he is playing really good baseball. And maybe, just maybe, the Yankees aren't a bad team, Buck Martinez.
The Yankees, they're not a good team.
Oh, they're not a good team. I guess we'll find out tomorrow at 4 o'clock if they're not a good team.
The Yankees, yeah, they're not a good team.
You're going to hear a lot of that over the next 5 days. Because sometimes we put words into the atmosphere.
Right.
And they come back and they haunt you.
The Yankees, they're not a good team.
No, they stink. They're terrible. But they made the plays. And this is the secret, little secret sauce of postseason baseball. If you can get really good starting pitching, check, 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 because look at the three starts in this series, and you can defend, it's called run prevention. Have you heard about it? If you can prevent runs from being scored, you can win without scoring a crooked amount of runs. So even though the Yankees only scored 9 runs, and look at how they scored the runs in the fourth inning. Another little thing, put the bat on the ball and good things happen. Mm-hmm. That's another sign of life. And I don't want to hear about how hard each ball was hit. You hit the baseball, good things happen. Nathaniel Lowe can't make a play. Too bad.
Right.
Too bad. Right. You know, you can have that happen when you hit the ball.
Right, that was an easy one. He booted it.
Not my problem.
Exactly.
Not your problem.
Take advantage.
I thought the fourth inning, in a lot of ways, I don't call it lucky. I call it, that's what good teams do. You put the bat on the ball, and sometimes you force the opponent to screw up. And that's what happened, and the Yankees took advantage of it, and they got tested. You know, you're down 0-1, your backs are to the wall, you blow 2 leads in game 2. They responded. And so if you're a Yankee fan on this Friday afternoon, I understand there's that pivot moment that we have to do very quickly on focusing on Toronto, but you should be ecstatic for more than just Schlittler's dominance, but the fact the Yankees did to the Red Sox what the Dodgers did to you last year in the World Series.
Right. Yeah, right. And it's... Look, it's only the wild card series, and it's great to advance and you get soaked with champagne and beer, whatever the heck they were throwing around in the clubhouse, but it is advancing. And if it had been the other way around, meaning they lost that game, it would have been the vitriol would have not even gotten close to exceeding the elation that people feel. Like, this is tame compared to what would have happened if they had lost.
Absolutely, and I think rightfully so, because right. We look at the Red Sox, at this state of the Boston Red Sox, and say, they're a nice little team.
Yes.
They're not the New York Yankees. The Yankees are a better team. And I think the other thing that it's at work here, and Sean, you could speak on this certainly better than Tiki and I, it's cathartic to finally beat them.
Definitely.
Like, as bad as they, or as mediocre as I think they are, it's kind of irrelevant. They wear the jersey. Jared Carrabas is still one of their fans.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter if they're good, great, mediocre, or not. To beat the Red Sox in a playoff series for the first time since we know when has to be like a cathartic feeling as a Yankee fan.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And for anybody that, let's just pick the age 30 years or younger, when you think about when you really can focus in and understand what's going on in sports, you've known nothing but Yankee eliminations to the Red Sox. That is a generation of fans that many of us who have gotten a little older forget exist. So to have that happen and have that first moment happen since that Aaron Boone home run in 2003, yeah. I don't think it's hyperbole. There won't be any banners hung. It's still a wild card series. What happened with Schlittler was unbelievable. But yesterday has the potential, and this week has the potential, to be, to a certain extent, franchise-altering for the New York Yankees. They exercised serious demons versus an arch-rival and a manager over there that had always basically dog-walked Aaron Boone, and Aaron Boone dog-walked him back, thank you, Aaron Boone, to a third baseman they signed that many of us were hesitant on. Do we want him? Do we want him? We got our comeuppance on him after his whole Astro garbage. That was cathartic, and that is something that, if this train keeps rolling, we will look back. Clean baseball played versus the Boston Red Sox, dominant starting pitching. Oh my God, does this feel like when I was young again? That is an unbelievable feeling. I can't believe the pep in the step I have, and I've been Mr. Negative for a week. I'm sorry, Yankee fans. I'm all in. Let's freaking go. F you, Red Sox.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.